Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the PK Show 1 on Twitter. And we're presented by the Wine and Cheese. It's the best wine in the Tallahassee, City of Champions area, the capital city, Leon County. Best wine, best food. Check your boys' place out. Terrible Tuesday. And my name is, as usual, I got on the line with me, the co-host with the most, the King of Rochester. Yes, John Jones, he is the King of Rochester. The man, the myth, the legend, the man that told Brock Lesnar, try to come back and fight Overeem. The man who told Overeem, he would be champion one day. The man that told Vitor, hey, did you hear about this thing called testosterone? The man that told Vanderlei, run! They're coming for you, run! The man who told Fedor, Fabio Maldonado, the man who told Bosco, have you heard of the liver kick? He don't give a fuck, slap your mama in the butt. Conor McGregor, what the fuck is up? Yeah, Nate Diaz now has his middle fingers up. It's Andrew, King of the Paycheck Narrative. What's up, homie?
Yo, what it do? Folks, we're at it. Midweek grind going into Wednesday. For everyone who has to live that corporate lifestyle, I'm sorry. Just, it sucks, but it is what it is. And now, Ryan, this is the second Tuesday.
First day of work. Well, I start on Sunday for my work week, but then I have 2 days off.
Cool. Nice. The weekends go by, before we get on the show, I just made you complain. Why do the weekends always go by so fast? I mean, I swear my weekend, it goes from...
Yeah, it's equal number of working and leisure. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should have an equal number of days to get the rest.
Yeah. It's retarded. We should at least have a four-day work week. It goes from Monday to Sunday afternoon at, like, 4, Ryan. And then I can never truly enjoy Sunday because all day I'm constantly thinking that, damn, tomorrow's Monday. And every day I wake up, you know, my alarm goes off, 6:50, 7 o'clock, and I lay in bed for 5 minutes contemplating whether or not I really need this job. Sadly, the answer is yes.
The toothbrush or the revolver? You wake up in the morning, think about where you're working, you look at your toothbrush, and then you got to have a revolver right next to it. You eat in the morning. That's what a lot of business people call it. But I have to say, mine is like, it sounds nice, Monday and Tuesday. And it's been pretty nice because before I was only getting one day off Monday. But it's weird because it's the only, like, I'm one of the only people that had those 2 days in a row off. Everyone else is out there doing their, you know, work and grind, and I have those 2 days off, but it's not like I can, you know, live the normal life because everyone else is on the grind on those 2 days, and I'm just the one being lazy on those 2 days. So therefore, I feel lazy, and I feel compelled to do stuff, and then I don't get my, like, rest in that I need to get, and it just ruins my actual days of rest. And my actual weekend is actually my hardest days of work, so it's like, it's a hard schedule.
But
at least I don't have to wake up at 7 in the morning.
That is true, and it is a bitch. But Ryan, now, this is the second. All right, we got to dive into it. This show is more like a PSA. It's more like a public service announcement to the fans that come to us. I'm going to get it. So, of course, there's a new Conor McGregor. He's out of UFC 200. He's tweeted that he's going to retire and then no one else heard anything from him. Now, Ryan, dating back, I never bought too much into it. You were the one who brought it to my eyes and were, you know, harping on it more than me. I never knew that there was that big of a rift between Dana and the UFC. But, yeah.
Right away, you know, that's when you kind of knew something was up. You know what I'm saying? You don't just post that on Twitter and then 4 hours later it's still on Twitter. Then Dana White has a press conference on SportsCenter. That's when you know shit's, like, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Mm-hmm.
And the official reasoning for him getting pulled out of UFC 200, not that he's retired. This is the dick measuring contest that he was saying. I heard that they were only going to give McGregor $3 million, and he was disputing that. He wanted more money, and God knows he deserved more money in that fight.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't show up for his Las Vegas obligations. This is also a guy who just witnessed somebody get killed in the octagon by one of his teammates. You got to think that that took a big toll on his mind. And he's also a guy that was thinking about retiring before he even entered the UFC. And then he grew up. You got to think, you know, he's got the money right now. He's a big spender, so you know he's going to want that paycheck. But I don't know if you officially, I could easily jump onto the UFC here and throw that usual Dana White claim because I love Conor McGregor so much. You know, I can, you know, just fish the fuck out of Dana White. We don't know officially everything that happened. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Conor McGregor responding from a loss. First off, he comes out. I like the fire of trying to get the rematch. Put it at 155. Like, you don't have this direction. It seems kind of lazy to me. Or, you know, hard, you know, trying to beat the same guy the same weight. But then, you know, he's quiet and ATS is doing most of the promotional stuff for UFC 200. I haven't seen Conor McGregor in one interview. Then all of a sudden, he knocks up to Las Vegas. And he officially gets the beat up on that. But he officially retired on Twitter, not even for a press conference. I understand what Conor McGregor's methods are here. To let you know, Andrew, there was one other time this happened. A fighter didn't show up for, well, I'm sure it's happened in the past, but the time we can reference was Nick Diaz did not show up for UFC 137 press obligation when he was supposed to fight DSP. And instead of fighting DSP, he did main event, but he fought DJ Penn. But it just seems like the train's too far ahead. Nate Diaz is still going to Vegas. They're trying to find a new opponent for him. It just seems like the event's ruined, and I don't know what we're going to do with Conor McGregor. Who are you blaming for this? What does the UFC do? I mean, there's so many questions to dive into, but I'll start with, who are you blaming for this?
Right off the bat, I'm just going to have to blame Dana just because that's my nature. And also because it's a battle with McGregor. I mean, I'll be honest, there, as Ryan was saying earlier, there's a lot of information and facts we don't have. I think there's a pretty strong, you know, theory out there that, I mean, I feel like the most logical. Him and Dana were already in those negotiations, and after Conor saw that young man die in the octagon, in the ring, he was sitting ringside for when his teammate fought, and they had put things in perspective with him. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look, I've made enough, more than enough money to retire. My name is blazing hot. He can get into his own promotions or anything, you know what I mean? And maybe he thought, I don't need this. There are certain things that are more important, you know, in life. And I mean, it is true, very heartbreaking. So that would be my theory, that they were in negotiations, and then after that happened, Dana wouldn't budge, and Conor just said, you know, screw it. And, I mean, I don't know who to blame on this because I see the picture from both sides. Dana, certainly, you are the UFC. You are trying to be the NFL. But, I mean, even the NFL bent some rules for some of their biggest superstars, a la Tom Brady. And don't even get me started on the NBA and LeBron James. So that's Dana, I think, being a little bit dumb. He was hooking Conor up, but I don't know how great, you know, his demands. You know what I mean? And then you look at the flip side for Conor. Look what Conor has done for the UFC. You have to be an idiot to argue that he did not completely rejuvenate the UFC from what it was and bring what he needed to bring. And, I mean, Ryan, some of the things we never saw. Conor always wanted to have a UFC card in Ireland. Dana, at first, he was like, yeah, buddy, yeah, we're going to have it. And then when Conor got big enough for it to happen,
Oh, well, I don't know. There's some regulations at Crow Park and stuff, and we got some other stuff. I don't know. You saw Dana bend on the no at first. No champion can keep their belt and fight up in a weight class. Connor got that. So, I mean, really, it comes down to Connor saying, you know what? Pulling a good old Eric Cartman. Screw you guys. I'm going home. He can start his own promotion. There's a million other things he can do, but how big his name is, and he's still regarded as one of the best mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? Regardless of what happens, Ryan, that's what I wanted to say to you, something I wanted to bring up. We're both pretty big McGregor fans. If he never fights again, his last fight was a loss to Nick Diaz. Question one, you know, is that going to tarnish his record? How much? Well, I'm sure it will tarnish it, but how much? And then if this is it, if we never see McGregor fight again, what would you say about his career?
I always say that McGregor, in my opinion, if he stuck to it, would be the most dominant 145-pound champion of all time, just because of his reach to that division, his size, what he did to that division. Also, one of the best promoters in the game, one of the biggest stars we've ever seen in the game. You can't argue that. People still talk about Chael Sonnen and how big of a star Chael Sonnen was. And, I mean, look how he diminished his career. But they still talk about how funny he was, how good of a promoter he was. That part of Conor McGregor will never be lost. He'll be able to do whatever he wants after his fight career. But he did bite the hand. I don't want to say that feeds them because it was a two-way street. And McGregor pulled the John Jones card. You know, Jones did this on a much smaller scale, but he got a whole show canceled. So McGregor pulled this on a UFC 200, something we never would have seen happen. And there's a lot of theories you can think about. Maybe McGregor looked at it and said, I'm not ready for a world tour. This is too quick of a turnaround. I fought in three fights, like, more since, you know, Frank Edgar has fought once, and you know what I'm saying? And maybe he thought, oh, Nate Diaz is a mistake fighting him this close. You know, that second loss could ruin his career. But looking at it overall, he'll always be a great 145 pounder. But if he does not ever fight again, big questions on his all-around game to be considered what he could have been. You know, one of the greatest, one of the guys that made the most money. He'll kind of be like a Brock Lesnar. You know, a guy who came in, got a bunch of money, and then after he lost, kind of, you know, saw the light and got the fuck out. But McGregor doesn't have that professional wrestling ghost. I mean, there's a lot of avenues he could go to if he needed to, but it's questionable. But, like, Andrew, if this is John Jones, we would be all over Jones for pulling out of UFC 200, not showing up to Vegas, no matter how much he was getting paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we have to look at it. Is this going to have the John Jones effect on Conor McGregor? He already lost in front of all his fans. How many of those Irish fans are going to turn on him for this? How many of those Irish fans are going to turn on the UFC? And what is the UFC's course of action? Do you think McGregor's going to come back and fight at UFC 200? Do you think that they're going to turn around and get this deal done somehow? Or what do you think the UFC should do about the main event of UFC 200?
First thing I'm doing, if I'm Scott Coker, I'm picking up the damn phone and I'm getting in touch with Conor McGregor's camp to finding out what is what. You know, could you imagine? I mean, I don't know how that would work. If McGregor's next fight has to be in the UFC or whatnot. But I'm just saying, it couldn't hurt. But going into this, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm not going to treat Conor like John Jones on this just because, I mean, shit, Conor isn't John Jones. Conor hasn't pulled all the shit that John Jones has pulled. I mean, he didn't get, you know what I mean? Like, John Jones already has a pretty muddy background. But also, you have to think, too, John Jones, if he had the same impact that Conor McGregor had on the UFC, and kind of the things he brought, then yes, I would be able to give him a little bit of a leeway to the argument. But the main thing is we're not going to know, you know, whose side people are going to take, what's going to happen with this, until more information is divulged. It's very interesting about the Irish too, Ryan, because the UFC really needed those numbers. They're finally getting that international fan base. And then, I mean, if Conor's not fighting it anymore, all those people aren't going to make the trip. I really don't see them having that same sense of appeal as it had before. And furthermore, Ryan, you have to think about it. Ronda out, John Jones is a wild card. Really, what the fuck is the UFC going to do? Pardon my French. What is Dana going to do? I'm sure they'll survive, but they are definitely going to take a hit. And, I mean, is it right to take the hit like this to kind of show the other fighters and set precedence that nothing comes before this brand? But I'm really not sure what they're going to do taking this hit. Only time, really, I think, is going to tell on this, Ryan, as some of the facts get divulged of what Conor wanted, what Dana wanted. Ryan, if it was, you know, they were going to give him $3 million and he wanted six or wanted five or wanted a certain percentage, really you have to think, you know, who is Conor? Because I'm sure other fighters, you see they get penny, they're going to call Conor out on it. Oh, we didn't love the fight. Didn't have the heart for it. We're fighting for far less. But, I mean, whose side do you take on it? Looking at it from another fighter, what are your thoughts on that standpoint and, you know, the demands and whatnot, if that was why Conor truly decided to retire?
Unless Conor McGregor wanted an absurd amount of money, like we're talking Floyd Mayweather money, then there's no way the UFC could come back with, yeah, we weren't going to pay him this amount. Anything under $10 million, Conor McGregor deserves. I mean, the amount of pay-per-views and live attendance the UFC was going to get and attention the UFC was going to get to Conor McGregor to put his career on the line by taking on the same guy that would be the biggest promotional tool, him versus Nate Diaz, too. For him to do that, he needs double the money they fought last time because it's UFC 200. UFC's probably going to make double the money in that fight. So let's see it. You've got to give this guy more money. And if he wanted an absurd amount of money, that just shows that he did not want to fight anymore. If it's fake, then Conor McGregor, he could be a professional actor because his coach came out on Twitter, posted a picture with him, said the ride was fun. Conor McGregor's been relatively silent since, you know, he announced his retirement. No interviews, I think all he did was Colin Cowherd, and even Colin Cowherd was like, I don't know if this is real or not. But, you know, Conor McGregor needs to get on his side of the story. You know, Dana White went on SportsCenter. Conor McGregor needs to be going on BBC or fucking Sky Sports, ESPN. This motherfucker needs to be in China fucking telling people his side of the story and what happened. It cannot be a one-way street. And the MMA media has to see it like that. I think the UFC has pushed Conor to its limit, and if you're pushing a guy to that limit with this amount of fights in a short time, and let's be real, Andrew, like, this loss would be a career-defining loss. And Dana White coming out and saying once again that Conor McGregor was going to go back down to 145 no matter what happened in this fight. Stop coming out with those big statements, because you're not going to control this guy's career like everyone else. He made that clear when they announced the fight. And it's like, Dana, I know you're trying to hype up whoever wins the Aldo fight versus McGregor, but if this guy truly does not want to fight at 145, let him make that announcement and let him fight comfortably and let's see what happens in his next fight. And let's see where he wants to be, because this is UFC 200. Like, a blunder on this will go down in history. This isn't just UFC 137 with Nate Diaz. This is UFC 200. You look right now, look back at UFC 100, look at the success that was, and now looking at UFC 200, you have to say after 100 shows plus the thousands of shows they do in between, the UFC has taken a huge step back if they do not get Conor McGregor on the line. Now, the only two options I could see, Andrew, because I don't see Ronda coming back. They can always try to pull somebody from, you know, 199, like Rockhold Wideman, but I don't see that doing the numbers. They talked about Robbie Lawler versus Nate Diaz. I'm sorry, that's just not going to do the numbers that a Conor McGregor fight would.
There's only one fight. There's only one fight. You in the in. I feel like in UFC that you could replace a Conor McGregor fight with, if it's not going to be Conor McGregor, that's DC John Jones. I'm sorry, there's only one fight I feel like they can get that type of magnitude right now.
John Jones comes out and destroys OSP and can fight in that short amount of time, then you got to say John Jones Cormier. That has to be on the docket. You have to get both guys to just be willing to fight in that short amount of time and pay them double what they were going to make. So you're going to be paying both guys double. So you screwed up there, dummy. And then the second one is GSP. You got to throw him GSP, and you got to get Nate Diaz, who on the record wasn't really down to fight GSP. You got to tell him how much money he's going to make. And, you know, GSP coming and saving the day, it's going to cost you probably the same amount you were going to pay Conor McGregor anyway. And you're probably still going to do less money because Conor McGregor is such a big superstar right now. And you're not going to get the build-up you would with Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor.
Ryan, that's a great point. You just made me think of something I haven't even thought of yet about GSP. That may have been a reason why Dana got, because we've seen the rumors are getting clearer and clearer. It's only eventuality. I truly think GSP will be back. Maybe Dana's like, ho, I got GSP coming back. You know, Conor, fuck you. We're not doing that, man. I got GSP coming back.
Canada back. You know, I got Canada, and we got him. He'll be our main event. You look at that, and you got to say, all right, that's the ultimate trump card Dana has to Conor McGregor. But if there was no backup plan here, like if Robbie Lawler was the backup plan to fight a 155 pounder, you know, because Nate Diaz is a badass. But his appeal is he beat Conor McGregor. We're not going to go out of the way to watch him fight too many other 170-pound fighters, except maybe GSP. And, you know, on any other pay-per-view, yeah, we would watch Nate Diaz, Robbie Lawler in a heartbeat. But on UFC 200, it's too important. It's too big. Or do you think UFC 200 is no longer that big in the UFC's eyes now that New York was announced and all these other cards have been announced?
Yeah, maybe, Ryan. And honestly, another point you brought up made me think of when you're talking about Nate. Nate's the type of guy where you have to put him up against the right opponent for the fight to be good. If Nate fights GSP, I'm sorry, that fight might suck. I could see GSP trying to wrestle fuck him the whole five rounds. You know what I mean?
He might have a better back game, like a submission game. Than Nick, but if he did it to Nick, he's going to be able to do it to Nate. The only thing that's a good watch with that is GSP and his comeback. That would be the only big bump. But I think you'd have to take Nate off and have GSP Robbie Lawler, maybe. I don't know, but they say Nate Diaz is going to stay on the card.
No, definitely. Nate, you have to. I mean, Nate got his ticket to UFC 200. And, I mean, honestly, if McGregor retires outside of Nate after this and he really doesn't fight anymore, I mean, what a little notch to tip your cap on, or however that saying goes, to be the guy to retire Conor McGregor. And honestly, you know, all the fighters that might jump out and get on McGregor, from a financial standpoint, y'all are pretty dumb. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like Jose Aldo saying peace, like he retweeted it and he did the little emoji for the peace signs, whatever, and a thumbs up. Jose, that's just stupid. A, you're never going to have the chance to even attempt to reclaim your balls from a 13-second knockout. Maybe he's the happiest. He's like, thank God McGregor's gone. Even if you get the belt back, I mean, yeah, he was a great fighter, but he got knocked down 13 seconds by Conor McGregor, and you're not going to nearly see half the amount of cash that you would have saw with McGregor on it. So, I mean, don't get it twisted. This is a lose, 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 lose. In every case scenario, it's a lose with him gone. It's painful. This hurts. This is a sad day.
I look at Frankie Edgar and Aldo in that fight. How much, you know, how bad is that? I mean, not bad. It's a great fight. But compared to the hype, if the winner is going to fight McGregor,
yeah,
and, they're fighting, and now the winner is not going to fight McGregor. Oh, whoever wins this fight is probably going to either get a rematch.
Be the champ.
Guy, or fight Max Holloway. I mean, they were going to be the interim champ anyway. Oh, you're going to get to fight probably Max Holloway next. Oh, okay. That makes Frankie Edgar.
That fight's going to sell.
Yeah.
Because we're really interested in that.
I saw all McGregor's rivals dissing the fuck out of him on Twitter. All I got to say is Donald Cerrone, Jose Aldo, Rafael Dos Anjos, which you're fighting on Fight Pass, Rafael Dos Anjos, so I think you need to get off your high horse. Without McGregor, you're nothing. You're fighting what's his name? Eddie Alvarez on Fight Pass. Like, come on.
Wait, they threw RDA on Fight Pass?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Trying to get people to get Fight Pass, but also, like, it's like...
No, man, this isn't going to get people to get Fight Pass. This is just going to be an inconvenience to all us hardworking fans that don't want to sign up for an extra freaking $15 a month promotion for shitty fucking Fight Pass. Wow.
We don't want to see Dos Anjos ragdoll Eddie Alvarez. And
if Dana wonders why we torrent, why people stream events.
Yeah, and at this point, looking at UFC 200, who's going to want to buy that card? I mean,
yeah.
Get a huge replacement because now it's not even as good as UFC 199. It's not even close to 198. You might be able to argue 197 with Mighty Mouse, Tito, and even the return of John Jones could be considered bigger than Aldo Edgar. You know, if that's what the two main events are going to be in each state. Like, this could be worse than the next three cards. It's obviously, you know, Ronda's not coming back for this fight. Misha's already got an opponent. And promotions start tomorrow, so it's going to be Nate Diaz with an empty chair across from him, unless the UFC has that DSC card, like where they're going to officially announce tomorrow or the next day, oh, DSC is returning. That's the only thing I see the UFC doing. Maybe they even talked to McGregor and said, you know, pull the retirement card, go take a break, buddy. You can come back whenever you want. You know, you want a little bit of a rest. And they give McGregor a nice little rest, and DSC comes back, and McGregor eventually fights Diaz down the road, or maybe goes back to 145. Maybe McGregor was cycling on some roids. This is another conspiracy theory, and he knew he might get caught. You know, trying to get bigger, maybe took the wrong supplement. Glover Teixeira, you know, complained. We need to see the list. Maybe he saw the list and was like, damn, I'm taking this and this supplement. I can't go to Las Vegas tomorrow. You never know, because you would have got tested. I mean, that could be a theory. A lot of people another fighter.
It certainly can, Ryan. And I mean, to elaborate it on even further, it could be the reason why he retired. So if they show up to try and drug test him, he's like, nah, man, don't you have Twitter? I retired. I'm not taking no drug tests. But Ryan, something else, you know, I did want to bring on, you know, it is the things about McGregor is terrible, terrible news. And, you know, hopefully this is all just a stunt and, you know, it's to build the card even more, even though I don't think that's the case. But one can dream. But 15 minutes coming up, Ryan, just to touch on it, because we haven't touched on it a little bit. The UFC Bellator war. Bellator's fighting. Bellator's making some splashes and some moves. We just had the head-to-head this past weekend of the UFC and the Bellator card. I'm going to be honest, both promotions just whiffed. The fights were not very good. Rashad Evans got knocked out so fast, I missed it. I was on the wrong channel. Like, damn, this commercial's pretty long. Oh, I'm on the wrong channel. Flipped it back, and it was Glover getting his hand raised. And then the Bellator card was just, it was weird. It was in Italy. I wasn't digging the whole vibe. The crowd was like kind of silent. They had these weird black lights over the crowd. It was some foreign shit, and it wasn't good. It wasn't that great. And the fights were pretty shitty as well. Besides AJ McGee, the little 145 or some fire with dad looked phenomenal. Beat an undefeated guy to move to 4-0, his fourth first round knockout. But both events were crappy. But this Friday and Saturday, Ryan, this is a great fight weekend for MMA fans. Friday, Bellator's huge card, the Bellator kickboxing, MVP's on the fight, on the card. There's a couple other fighters on the card whose names are eluding me. And then we have that super stacked event, you know, with John Jones, OSP, and company fighting. You know, what are your thoughts real quick coming onto this weekend? You know, now Bellator didn't go the same day, which I feel like is smart because John Jones is going to command a lot of attention, but I think Bellator could win pretty big this weekend. I mean, what are some of your thoughts on this weekend we have coming up with fights and everything, and what are you more excited for, the Bellator card with the kickboxing or the return of Bones Jones against OSP?
Well, the biggest mistake, in my opinion, I was trying to say it when you were, talking about last weekend, was that event that was on this weekend was actually Bellator's first kickboxing card. Half of the event was MMA. It kind of supported the kickboxing. Then they did not air the kickboxing card. So I accidentally, like a dumbass, went and read the kickboxing results when the results, you know, they're going to actually air the kickboxing a week later after the MMA event on Spike.
What?
Yeah, it kind of ruined the kickboxing for me. I mean, I know who won, but it seemed like it was a pretty exciting event. So that's, you know, I just think that's a, I know the reason they did it because they had a really good partner in Octagon Kickboxing in Italy with Giorgio Petrosian, one of the best lightweight kickboxers in the world, as one of the main guys on the card. For some reason, he's not on the Spike portion of the card. I guess maybe he's signed with Glory. I'm not sure. But I think that's what filled up the stadium. He always fills up that stadium. And, you know, it just ruined that part of the card. But I'm looking forward to seeing if Benson Henderson can win that welterweight title and how MVP looks. They're putting a lot of promotional stock into MVP. So I got to be 100% honest. I think that Mighty Mouse is finally going to get pushed to his limit in this DiGiusto fight.
Yeah.
The first guy that can maybe out-wrestle Mighty Mouse. And, you know, we've had him, Mighty Mouse has faced a bunch of strikers. I don't think he's faced anybody near his kickboxing ability, his striking ability, and his wrestling ability. I'm sorry, he's faced people with his striking ability, but not his wrestling ability. And Cejudo is a gold medalist, so, I mean, that is a whole different kind of animal. And John Jones making his comeback to me, that's bigger than Benson Henderson. Even if it's a kind of a wash fight with OSP, OSP always has that kind of one knockout punch power. You know, he can make the fight exciting while it lasts. And let's be honest, we love to watch John Jones fight. You know, sometimes he's boring.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come out exciting. But I do think the UFC made one mistake. I don't feel like Jones is getting enough build for this fight. I think Bellator is showing. One thing that really sucks, Andrew, Bellator is making a huge push. And I got to say, their UK card, I fucking love. We'll get into that in a second. But the promotional tools they use, they've had 24/7 episodes on Michael Venom Page. They've had multiple Benson Henderson videos. They're really hyping up the guys on the card. And I don't feel like they're getting that from the UFC. Like, they should be telling OSP stories. They should be telling the John Jones story on Fox, you know, on a Saturday night or something like that when you have the audience. I just don't feel like there's the correct build-up for this fight, especially when Daniel Cormier got cooked off the bill. But still, it's a great card, and I think it trumps Bellator. But I got to say, Andrew, Kimbo Slice is officially coming back at Bellator 158. Scott Coker shows that he does not give a fuck once again. Ratings over fucking the athletic commission because Kimbo tested positive for steroids.
How is he fighting?
The solution, I'm sending him to the United Kingdom where we can have our own drug testing. And he's fighting James Thompson in a rematch. Let's not lie, ladies and gentlemen. We want to see that rematch. That was an awesome fight for Elite XB. I know it was sloppy, but James Thompson's ear exploded. James Thompson is a brawler. He should bring the best out of Kimbo or the worst. He could knock Kimbo out. Then on the co-main event, you got Paul Daly, Josh Koscheck, the fight that ruined Paul Daly's career. Now he gets a chance to knock Josh Koscheck out. They already got in a fight at one of the press conferences. And MVP is going to be on that card, too. And it's going to be live in Britain. I think that's a huge step in the O2 arena for Bellator, putting their biggest draw, arguably. I mean, they're having Rampage and Tito coming back. So Kimbo's a huge draw. With that Paul Daly fight, those two rivalries with MVP to support it, that's a huge step for Bellator. But this weekend will be the official Bellator, you know, not a freak show. We're going to see, like, I was going to mention it. Fight got officially changed. Like, it's a premium channel now. Like, it's almost like the HBO. You have to pay extra. And after they got all these free agents, you got to say Dana White was buying this shit. Somehow Fight, you have to pay extra for. Like, I don't even get it on my parents' TV, who have one of the best packages in the world. They don't even get Fight TV. The amount of homes that Bellator is going to be in is going to very much get affected. So I think that could take a big hit to all the Bellator future ratings. But those two cards coming up for Bellator are huge. So how do you think Fight getting pushed up to a premium channel is going to affect this war?
Wait, Spike's getting changed?
It already got changed, my brother. I don't know if you still get it on your TV, but...
I still get Spike, so, I mean...
Comcast, just in the South, I know...
I don't have Comcast. I have Time Warner Cable.
If you have Comcast, you have to pay extra for Spike, no matter what.
But, I mean, Spike getting changed, that's huge. That's got to affect the numbers. I mean, that is big. I don't even – because you have to think, how can you watch it? Is it just paper? Like, how can you even watch the fight without getting Spike? Do you have to upgrade just for Spike? That's a bigger ripoff than Fight Pass.
Yeah. I mean, and I think Dana White was behind it somehow. I think that he got in the ears from the cable network. Because Spike wanted to go up after they were doing such good ratings, you know, like – there's no way. They need to offer another option for Bellator and for their fighting promotions, like their boxing. They need to offer, like, oh, you can pay $8 and get it this weekend or something like that. Because, you know, there's no way, like, I don't know a lot of people are going to pay extra for Spike TV. I know it's a very loved channel, Ink Master, Cops, all that stuff, but I just don't see it. Andrew,
who's paying that extra $10 a month to watch Cops and Ink Masters?
And Bellator and premium boxing, like, they don't even have Glory anymore. Come on, you can just see that being a Dana White move. That has to be a Dana White move. Andrew, what do you think about Kimbo coming back? What do you think about that card? And what do you think about the war this weekend, now that you know that information about the fight?
First about Kimbo, that is... I love it. I love the move, the middle finger to the Kimbo fails for steroids. Scott Coker's like, nope. See, this is where Bjorn Rebney would have fucked up. He would have had him not fight. They would have lost Kimbo. Scott Coker was like, nah, guys, let's just put it in UK. I don't even know how he's still fighting on that. That is amazing. This guy's not going to be able to fight in the United States. But, I mean, the rematch, first of all, at this point, If all the other Kimbo fights were fixed, I think it's to the point where you don't have to fix a Kimbo fight. You know what I mean? I really don't expect him to win. You know what I mean? It's just that point where if he loses, it's kind of like, well, okay, whatever. It's Kimbo. I'm still going to turn in. James Toney, you know, he's finally getting his big shot, his big chance of redemption. I mean, who could forget that first fight? That first fight was so damn good. They didn't drain the blood out of his ear. I know that had to be set up. So Kimbo punched him and popped his ear. I mean, that was absurd. Brett Rogers, the tap, and all I have to say is I'm excited. I'm going to watch. And I love the fact that, you know, they were able to make this fight happen. And, I mean, come on, I'm always going to be down to watch a little Kimbo fight here or there. I mean, it's fighting, you know what I mean? I'm always going to be down to see Kimbo throw the hands. But and then, Ryan, what was the second part of your question?
Which promotion are you more interested in this weekend?
This weekend, I'm going to have to say the UFC just because it's John Jones, but it's extremely close. I'm really excited to see Benson Henderson and Michael Venom Page fight. I'm a little disappointed about the Bellator kickboxing now that I find out it's not. You know, I don't know why this is always happening to goddamn kickboxing, but it's ruining it. The fact that the rear cards, it's ruining it. It's ridiculous. But all, you know, it's like, it's close. It is extremely close. Because John Jones hasn't fought in a while, I'm excited to see him. But, I mean, Bellator, it is very close. And honestly, Ryan, if Bellator has the better card, like, it's close. It is close. I'm going to say this, going into it, I'm a little bit more excited for UFC. But if Bellator puts on the better event, I'm going to be all pro Bellator, baby, on Saturday, or, you know, on Saturday night, Sunday night, whenever we do the next show.
I completely agree. Now, Andrew, I did have one other MMA thing where would you rather finish on a little NBA call?
All right. 2-0.
Fedor did get announced he's fighting Fabio Maldonado. We'll touch on that on the next show. But we got to talk a little bit of NBA in our last 5 minutes. Andrew, what do you think of the playoffs so far? You know, obviously it's the first round matchup, but how about Golden State dominating the Rockets? You know, and I haven't got to watch a single game yet, but dominating the Rockets without Steph Curry in the second game, and how much the Rockets have fell apart. Do you think the Rockets are officially done, not only in this series, but that dynamic on their team, the Howard Harden, do you think it's officially done?
Oh, yeah, Howard's got to – the Houston has to get rid of Howard in this offseason, bring in the right coach. I mean, Morey had the right mindset with the talent, but that team kind of like it reminds me a little bit of the Cavs as far as them congealing. Dwight ruins teams. Orlando had something special the year they went to the ship. Dwight ruined that, left, kind of got Stan Van Gundy fired. Real smart move, Dwight, because I bet you Orlando would love to have him back. He got Detroit into the playoffs this year. So that is just amazing, though. As of right now, it's going to be San Antonio versus Golden State, I feel like, for the ship. I know they'll play the team in the East. But those two teams just look light years ahead of everyone. And if Steph Curry, you know, when I heard he hurt his ankle, I was kind of like, oh, crap, it's not supposed to be that severe. But this is a guy with a ton of ankle issues. I mean, we could see Spurs doing, like, in typical Spurs fashion, everyone forgetting about them the time the playoffs rolls around, even though they're one of the best teams, and them coasting and winning it all. I'm very proud of my Hawks to take the first two against Boston. But we'll see. The Cavs, you know, Detroit played them tough. We'll see. But as of right now, Golden State and then the Mavs beating San Antonio or being OKC in game two. Right now, San Antonio and Golden State look light years ahead of everyone else.
Andrew, what's your favorite series of the first round? And out of all the underdog teams, what is the team that you put your money on in this first round?
Out of the underdog teams, the team of upstream, honestly, I was just hyping up my Hawks. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston could come around. More of an underdog, I feel like going into some of the Pacers against the Bulls or against the Raptors. I don't know. I know the Pacers did take game one. That would probably be my first pick because the Pacers are a pretty talented team. And with what Paul George, PG, playing like he's playing, my first would be the Pacers. Not that much of a shock is how good they are when they congeal, but the Pacers I could see upsetting Toronto.
Yeah, I think the Pacers would have definitely gave the easy road to the finals. And I'm not that impressed like everybody else with what they're doing against Detroit. I think they just got an easy team. So your official final prediction real quick.
My final prediction real quick, I'm going to go with Golden State. I just love them. How can I not pick Golden State? And I think they will play Cleveland again, a rematch, and Golden State will win again. And you could insert the Spurs for Golden State. One of those teams against the Cavs and the West wins it.
Yeah, I got Golden State, dude.